Now, about 8 days after these sayings, 8 days after Jesus asked the disciples who they thought he was, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah of God, after Jesus told them that he would suffer, be rejected, killed, and then be raised, and after explaining that anyone who tried to save their life would lose it, and only those who lose their lives for the sake of the gospel would save them. About 8 days after all of these sayings, Jesus takes Peter and John and James and goes up the mountain to pray. It's remarkable how much happens with prayer. Three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, share this account of Jesus being transfigured on a mountaintop in the presence of Moses and Elijah, Peter, John, and James. But only this one, the account written by Luke, says that Jesus went up the mountain expressly to pray. Prayer figures prominently in the account of the life of Jesus written by Luke. It undergirds all of the other pivotal events in the life of Jesus, such as Luke's account of Jesus' baptism, Jesus' selection of the 12 disciples, in the garden before Jesus is arrested on the cross. For Luke, prayer is the launch point for a dramatic encounter of God's presence. Because while Jesus is praying, the appearance of his face is changed and his clothes become a brilliant white. Here again, Luke differs from Matthew and Mark, because while Matthew and Mark say that Jesus was transfigured or metamorphosed, Luke simply says that Jesus' face was changed. Unlike Moses, who appears with Jesus on this mountain, but who, when he met God face to face on another mountain, reflected God's glory in the shining of his face. Here, Jesus isn't reflecting God's glory, because Jesus is God. Jesus is radiating God's glory. Jesus is God's glory. And while Luke says that Jesus' face was changed, maybe it's more accurate to say that the disciples' viewing of Jesus' face is changed. Finally, the disciples are getting a glimpse of who Jesus really is. This is no reflected glory. This is God's glory manifest in Jesus, shining through like a light in a dark room. God is revealed in Jesus on this mountaintop, and witnessing it are Moses and Elijah, two giants of Hebrew history and mythology who've had their own encounters with God on the tops of mountains, and Peter and John and James, three friends of Jesus, the three who are a part of his inner circle, who follow Jesus everywhere, and who have been and who will be witness to God incarnate at work. I wonder if seeing this helps these three disciples to start to realize a little bit more about the significance of those sayings 8 days ago, those conversations that they've been having with Jesus about his identity and about the path that they must follow. Perhaps that's part of the significance of this being the eighth day after. Because the eighth day is the first day of the new week. In the tradition of the early church, the eighth day is Sunday, the day of resurrection, the day of new life, the day of new beginnings. Here, Jesus is resetting the clock. He's just predicted his death for the first time, and now he's turning his shining face towards Jerusalem and starting that journey to the cross. Peter wants to pause here He's on the top of a mountain in the presence of God, the Messiah. And if they stay and rest in the presence of God's glory, then maybe they can avoid that part about death and crucifixion. But as Peter is still talking about resting, the cloud descends and overshadows them, terrifying them into silence. This is no ordinary cloud, and their terror is legitimate. The only other place in Luke's gospel where the word overshadow is used is way back at the beginning, when an angel appears and says to Mary, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God, and you will conceive a son and name him Jesus. And he will be called the Son of the Most High, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary understandably is confused and asks how this might happen. And the angel replies, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." This cloud that is overshadowing the disciples is the same Most High that overshadowed Mary at the very beginning when Jesus came to earth. The air must have been electric with God's power in that cloud. And then the cloud speaks. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." The voice speaks words similar to words that marked another beginning. At the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, he was baptized. The heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and he heard the words, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." This time, however, the voice is for the disciples. In case there was still any doubt in your mind, "This is my son. Listen to what he says." Do Peter, John, and James leave the mountain knowing exactly what will take place in the weeks and months to come? Do they always get it right from here on in? I think we can agree that the answer is no, not really. But we can be reminded of the fact that Jesus still revealed his glory to them on that mountaintop when they saw his face changed. And whether or not we can see it at any given time, the glory of God is here, incarnate, dwelling with us and in us, whether we are up the mountain or down. The glory of God dwelling with us is what gives us the strength, the hope, the courage, and the faith to see God's power at work in us, enabling us to do more than we can ask or imagine. It's what gives us the hope to act, as Paul put it in our reading this morning, with great boldness, because the Spirit of the Lord has given freedom. It's what gives us the strength to not lose heart, but to commend ourselves to God and God's keeping. It's what allows us to live into what God is calling us to live into being God's people who seek to bring God's kingdom here on earth. It's scary at times. It's tempting to put a veil over our faces and, like children playing peekaboo, believe that what we can't see isn't there. But Luke reminds us that as we gather today and every time we gather, whether it's for worship, for meetings, over food, for ice skating, we gather on this foundation of prayer. And with our prayer together this morning, undergirding every part of our life together. Today is Sunday, the first day of the week, the day of resurrection, the day of new life and new beginnings. Our scriptures today remind us that God is here, and God is at work in and through us. God is at work in and through us and calls us to take the strength and hope that we get from coming together in worship and in prayer off of the mountain and not keep silent, but set our shining faces towards the coming of God's kingdom and believe that there is life in the name of Jesus, and that that life gives us life forevermore. Amen.